Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to the Steele and Eisner podcast, Staying Aligned. This is the first podcast of the 2026 season. And as you can see, we're not in our normal setting where we normally have a Zoom with Sean and myself and our guest. This year, we decided we're going to do a couple of episodes done in a slightly different style. And I'm kind of excited about it. This year, we're going to try and go out into the world and talk to some doctors and try to get a sense of what it's like out there for doctors in PI. I think my hunch is that we're going to hear a lot of similar stories that maybe we can learn from. And maybe new doctors who are starting out in PI might be able to relate to some of these stories or maybe craft their PI journey in light of or sidestepping some of these potential pitfalls and landmines. So without any further ado, today we are joined by Dr. Shayla Hartz. Dr. Hartz is a chiropractor here in South Orange County. And thank you for being here.
Thank you. I'm so excited.
Yeah.
This is fun.
It is fun. And I'm excited that this is our first one that we're doing like this. I think this will be cool. Why don't you start by telling us sort of your background? So where did you go to school? And then like, where did you start working out of school? And how did you get to where you are now?
So I went to school at Southern California University of Health Sciences. I chose the chiropractic profession originally to be with athletes. And then I realized that general population was more my niche. So what ended up happening outside, like right after school, is it's hard to get a job right away. I was an assistant for a chiropractic PI brand, I guess, location.
Sure.
We only did PI. I was an assistant there. I became an associate doctor after I graduated, and I just got introduced into the PI world and I kind of stayed there. I've transferred into more general pop, but I keep including PI into my practice because it's a huge way to advocate for patients who have no idea what PI is or what to do after an accident.
So. Sure. So it sounds like you started with a sort of an interesting PI background.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't get dropped into the deep end of PI quite like you did.
Yeah.
Talk about what that was like. What was your experience, your first sort of PI experiences like? What did you think about PI as an institution, the way that the cases were being worked up, the way you were being treated by patients, by doctors, other doctors, by attorneys? Like, talk to me about your first experiences with PI.
Ooh, that's hard. It was crazy. I feel like that's the easiest way to describe it. It was crazy. And I mean, we were seeing so many patients. It was like 90 patients a day. I had no idea like anything about PI, what was going on. So learning the differences in like cases and attorneys, a lot of patients were coming in. They didn't even know what a chiropractor was. They thought that we were physical therapists. They were just coming because their attorney told them to come. It made it very obvious in the beginning that, okay, there's differences in the type of attorney you're getting. And then there's differences in the type of accident that it is. They're all in pain when they come in. So in major pain, usually the patients can be a little bit more intense than
sure.
your normal general population patient.
Right.
I heard some traumatizing stories literally on my first day. Like you take their intake and you hear these crazy accidents and it was just, it was wild. It was crazy. It wasn't what I was expecting. And they don't really teach you any of this in school. They don't prepare you well for it in school, I should say.
Yeah. 90 patients a day.
It was wild. Yeah.
That's probably not spending a ton of time with each individual patient.
And we weren't even seeing every single patient every single time. So that was also weird for me too, is sometimes they were just getting therapy. Sometimes they were getting adjusted. It wasn't what I originally thought of when I thought of being in practice.
Yeah.
So, but it was a very, I mean, it was a PI clinic that had been around for 30 years.
Like, yeah. And we don't need to name names, but,
yeah.
But maybe fair to say that it wasn't, terribly focused on giving individual attention to individual patients, crafting a treatment plan specific to that patient's needs and injuries. Like that's not even possible, I imagine, with 90 patients in a single day.
No, and it wasn't the level of care I wanted to give, especially fresh out of school. I'm like, this isn't, like, I want to spend more than 3 minutes with a patient. Like, I want to be with them. Like I said, especially hearing their stories. Like, these people are in an insane amount of pain. I've been through crazy experiences and they were confused.
Yeah.
And it was a whole different world.
What, if any, experience did you have with PI attorneys at that point? Were you exposed to any of that part of it? Tell me about it.
You would notice what was a good attorney and what was a bad attorney. There was attorneys where, you know, the attorney would be reaching out to me, the attorney would talk to me on the phone, and then the case manager would be, you know, instantly responsive, if not like 10, 15 minutes max. There was attorneys where we couldn't get a hold of them for months on end. And then usually those cases, we would treat the patient for like 2 months trying to get referrals, trying to get, you know, word from them. And it happened multiple times where the case manager would come back 2 months into care and be like, actually, you know what? The case has dropped.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
And you, I'm sure, came to realize what was going on there, which is essentially that they didn't do any case screening.
Yeah.
They didn't look into whether there's good liability, whether there's good insurance, there's any insurance, it's a Prop 213. None of that was looked into when the case was signed up.
Yeah.
And they did only got around to looking at it, you know, a month or two later, and that's when they finally let you know. And by then, you probably already have a bill, a substantial bill.
A substantial one, yes.
Right. And let me ask you, what did your clinic do with that bill?
They would just write it off.
They just write it off.
Yeah.
Right. Because the only other option is send it to collections.
Yeah.
Which is not pleasant for the patient.
Yeah.
And when your business model is that much of a volume business, it's baked into the price of doing business that you write off the drop cases. But I imagine they're substantial and they sting.
Yeah.
Especially for a clinic where if you were to slow the operation down, take individual care of individual patients from a PI standpoint, then you wouldn't, you know, you would be working up these cases and building up these bills and working on treatment plans only to have the rug pulled out from under you. I mean, if you're a sole practitioner, you'd be running a free clinic.
Yeah, exactly. It's impossible to, it would be impossible to keep a business going.
Right.
If you were by yourself, yeah.
Right. Right. And so, okay, so the care was not quite what you... What you wanted.
Yeah.
And the way the cases were being worked up, the attorneys you were sort of being forced to work with, how did these cases come to the clinic?
They were all, like, usually lean networks of some sort, like other organizations that would come to us with the patients.
Sure.
Or just direct attorney referrals. They would just send them to us. It was relationships that they had built over the decades that they had been open.
Right. And then so what, if anything, do you know if what was happening to the bills at the end?
I don't really, because I would do all the notes and then they would close out the note and they would handle the negotiations. I know that they were negotiated heavily though.
Yeah.
But yeah, they would handle
it. Right. And this is common.
Yeah.
This is common. Like I always talk about, there's no free cases, right?
Yeah.
If an attorney is referring you cases, it's not for free.
Exactly.
There's going to be reductions in the bill at the end, and they're going to expect that there's going to be reductions, or they're going to refer your patients to treatment that you don't think they should be getting, or they're going to intercept the med pay. But somewhere you're going to pay for that lead. It's not free. And I mean, it's why I commonly say, like, the best PI cases for chiropractors are the ones that walk in your door as pre-existing patients, or friends or family of pre-existing patients that know you, that trust you, that know you do good work. And then they walk in and say, hey, by the way, I've been in a car accident, which I know has happened to you personally.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And they're not even thinking PI case.
They don't at all.
They're thinking my back hurts and I'm going to go see my chiropractor.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Right. Right. And then you tell them why. I mean, what is your current experience with that?
It just depends on, most of them actually have been coming in. They're just organic. They come in through the door. I don't have that relationship with them yet. So I take the time when we go over our new patient process to get the story and explain to them what actually happens when you get an attorney. Some of them even forget. I had somebody who came in and didn't tell me until her second visit, oh, by the way, my husband wants to tell you that I got hit by a car 2 days ago. And that's why my back hurts. And I'm like, they forget. They don't think about it. And it's, you have to sit down and have that conversation, because to them, they think they're going to sue the person directly. And like, that person is going to, you know, they're going to stress that person out or make their life so much worse, or they just don't understand the entire process. So I have to sit down and explain to them, okay, well, I get the, make sure that it was, they weren't at fault, get the actual story of what happened, and then make sure it's a credible case. And then I go and I refer out to an attorney, and I don't put any pressure. I'm like, hey, look, this is what you should do after an accident. I have these attorneys, like, I trust them. They'll take good care of you. They'll listen to you. You know, they're not going to extend out the case. I kind of give them a background of what PI is and what it's going to do for them. And I tell them, look, at the end of the day, you didn't feel that pain for 2 days, right? It's the adrenaline is just now starting to wear off, and your body's going to be in fight or flight for, it could be up to 3 months, depending on the type of case, even more. And you're going to, this is something that's going to cause chronic inflammation, long-term inflammation. So it's better to take care of it now. Make sure that it's covered. That's what your insurance is there for. That way you're not stuck with this for life.
This is music. So what you're describing is what we talk about when we talk about patient education.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to trust you so much more than they're ever going to trust their attorney. There's a magic that happens when you put your hands on somebody and you make them feel better.
Yeah.
That you can't translate, that doesn't translate into words. There's no amount of millions that I could ever get anybody that is going to make them trust me the same as they'll trust somebody that has put their hands on them and made them feel better, just with their hands. So you already have that trust baked in, using it to say, hey, I get that you don't want to ruin someone's life, or I get that you feel like, well, you know, this happened 2 days, you know, the pain was, the accident happened a couple of days ago, and now the pain's only just kicking in now. Like, I get all of that, but you have insurance for a reason, and they have insurance for a reason. And the only way that you're going to get treated fairly in all of this by the insurance companies, who, by the way, are not going to play fair if you just try to deal with them on your own, some billboard attorney that you may or may not get if you're not careful about what attorney you pick. Yeah. Like, you're the only way to get treated fairly in all this is to talk to an attorney who really knows what they're talking about, who's fair, who's ethical, who you know and trust. Mm-hmm. And to let them sort of be your guide as it relates to the law portion of it, and to let you be the guide as it relates to the medical side of it. Because and this is why I love those types of patients, when they come in clean, there's no attorney referral, there's no lien network, just someone who knew you or already was treating with you or knows somebody who was treating with you, so there's some trust there already, walks in the door and they're a clean slate. And you can direct them to an attorney who you know is ethical, who's going to treat them well, who's going to treat you well when the case is over. You get to refer them to whatever outside doctors you think they may or may not require, and advise them as far as additional treatment that they might need or not need. If there's med pay, you get to bill it and actually keep the money that comes in and not have it intercepted. The whole PI experience for both the patient and you is going to end up being way better and cleaner, because you're the one actually quarterbacking the whole experience for the patient. And then in the end, you actually get to collect the money that for the treatment that you built,
exactly,
which is this revelation of, oh my God, I actually get to, you mean I get to keep the amount of money that I built? I mean, especially coming from your background where you've got people billing amounts of money that there's no way they're going to get paid. And of course they don't, because there's all sorts of reductions and pre-negotiated nonsense going on. It's just
it's a breath of fresh air, literally.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So you've had, since leaving there, you went to another clinic and you've got a lot more autonomy to handle these cases. Talk to me about good experiences versus bad experiences now. Like, now, how are you able to maneuver within the PI space, your anecdotes, your stories?
Well, for the most part, I'm lucky. I've had really good experiences, but I knew going in, once I left the PI clinic, I was going to be really picky. I'm very picky about which attorneys I choose to work with, because I don't have the ability to get negotiated down to like nothing afterwards, right? So I've had really great experiences. I mean, you know, I've had very responsive attorneys. I've been able to reach out. Like, in one case, it was, you know, multiple cars, multiple people in the car that I was treating. And I was able to reach out and say, hey, you know what? We're at this many visits per patient. I do want to refer out, but what do you guys recommend? And the attorney himself called me and was like, hey, we're close to case limits. Why don't we go ahead and close it out? And that's nice, rather than having me sit and treat for another 2 months, right? Very responsive, very on top of it. They were willing to reach out to the patient for me and have that conversation or have a three-way call. The same thing, it's whatever recommendations I have, I'm able to reach out to the attorneys I work with and be like, hey, you know what? I really think Shockwave would be great for them. Do you think that's okay? Is that not allowed? What can I do here? And it's being able to have that upfront communication, or even, you know, have the communication of right away, hey, you know what? These are the patient's limits. This is how much you have to spend. This is about the timeline that you have.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Yeah. And communication.
Then, yeah. It's
communication.
Nice.
I mean, that's what you keep describing over and over again. It's just having good communication with the PI attorney.
Yeah.
So that there's no surprises.
Yeah.
Because there doesn't have to be, right? Yeah. I mean, from my perspective, I know pretty early on, like very early on, what are the insurance limits? What are, you know, is there a liability problem or is there not a liability problem? Did they have car insurance, Prop 213? Like, I know these things pretty early on.
Yeah.
You know some things pretty early on.
Yeah.
You've been doing this long enough. You probably have a pretty good sense of prognosis in the various different injuries that they have. The shoulder, I think that's going to resolve itself. It's already mostly resolved. The knee, I think that's probably going to resolve itself. The low back, that's a real problem. I'm seeing some red flags. There's some radicular symptoms. I'm really concerned about the low back thing.
Yeah.
Okay. That's news to me. That's great information for me. Now I go, okay, what are you thinking? Like, what do you think? And you think, MRI probably makes sense. Maybe one visit to an ortho, pain management, just to establish treatment, concur in the diagnosis. We get, you know, potentially go back to them if it doesn't resolve in 6, 8, 10 weeks. Like, that conversation that you get to have with the PI attorney, where they download to you what they know, you do the same to them with what you know, takes like 3 minutes.
Exactly.
And it sets the stage for a happy case where in the end, it's like, okay, you build whatever, $3,500, $4,000.
Yeah.
The case can support it. The everyone was on the same page. You send in your bills and records in a reasonable amount of time. And then you get a check in the mail for 100%. If you're working with me.
I was going to say, with you guys.
No, look, we're not the only game in town. And I like that. Like, I think it's better for the profession. The whole point of this podcast is to try and teach chiropractors that, I hope everybody sends me their cases. Yeah. But we're not the only game in town. There are other good ethical attorneys out there.
Yeah.
You just have to be very choosy, very selective, looking for some very specific markers. Will they communicate with me? Will they get back with me, or are they not going to get back to me? Are they going to cut my bill or aren't they? Will they send me the med pay or are they going to try and intercept it? I mean, there's a handful of things that are non-negotiable. And there are attorneys out there that do those things right, get those things right every time. They practice ethically. And like, that's the experience. That if everybody coming out of chiropractic college were to get that experience, what a much better PI experience people would end up having.
Yeah.
And what better reputation I think the PI would get, PI attorneys, chiropractic, would end up getting if everybody got that experience. Yeah. But the problem is that, you know, 85-90%+ of people don't have that experience because they go to some billboard cut rate attorney. And or they end up at a PI mill like the one that you worked
the one that at. I was at.
And I don't mean to put words in your mouth, but that's what that
I was
is.
Trying to say away, but it wasn't.
But that's what it is. And like, we didn't name them, but that's what that is. And like, it's.
And the thing is it's like, it taught me good lessons. I mean, I did have one here where I learned from the PI mill, where I had an attorney here who it was the patient wanted to go with that attorney. So I was like, yeah, absolutely. We reached out to them for about 3 weeks straight. We sent the lien. Standard practice, and they just ignored us.
They just didn't sign it.
They didn't sign it. So I had my assistant call 2-3 times, and finally she got a hold of him, and she goes, "Hey, is there something going on? Like, that is there something that like why aren't you signing this lien? Like, is there a problem?"
Yeah.
And his response was, "I don't know. That's a good question, but I'll look into it." And it's things like that and red flags like that where I'm like, I told the patient, I was like, "Look, until we get that lien signed, I'm not going to continue care."
Right.
Because the fact that your attorney doesn't want to sign the lien is a huge problem already.
Of course.
And if it wasn't for that PI mill, I probably would have been more trusting and like, oh, they'll get back to us. But when I'm reaching out and saying, hey, what are the case limits? Hey, I really want to respond. Like, I want to refer to an MRI.
Right.
You can't get a response. And then you ask them to sign the lien and they're like, we'll get to it when we get to it. I'm like, no.
No.
Yeah.
No, because that lien is literally the only thing you have to guarantee that you're going to get paid at the end.
Yep.
Right? Without it, they can literally just ignore you.
Yeah.
And oftentimes they do if you don't have it signed or they jack around and try to edit the lien. I've seen that and send it back to you with like crossouts and edits in it. It's like they're people who are hell-bent on not practicing in an ethical way continue to find new and interesting ways of being unethical in the way that they practice. And like, it sucks that that's the way it is, but better to just acknowledge that's out there.
Yeah.
And I know what I'm looking for. And then again, having these conversations with patients. So you can say to that patient, here's how it works. Here's what a lien is. Here's how it protects me. You think I should be paid, right? For my job, my service. You think I should be paid for this?
Yeah.
Of course I do. Okay, good. So me too. Yeah. So I think I should be paid. So this is the only document. This is the document that guarantees that I get paid, right? This is the contract with your lawyer that says, in the end of this, I'm going to set aside the amount of money that you bill to pay for your services so that you don't have to pay as we go. You can wait and pay at the end out of the settlement money. That's the deal we're making. I'm going to wait to get paid. In exchange, I get this guarantee that I'm going to get paid. If they don't sign it, I have no guarantee. I could be just treating for free. You don't think that's right? Of course they don't, right?
Yeah.
So if they're, you know, so this signed lien, it becomes very, very important. And educating the patient about the lien process, what is a lien, why it's so important, and that their attorney is peeing down their leg is an important first step in really teaching the patient, probably in that situation, that they might want to consider a better attorney.
Exactly.
Now, I'm not saying that everybody should go around telling their patients to get different attorneys because you can run into some legal problems with that. But if patients are unsatisfied with the care, the services that they're being given by their attorney, and that happens all the time, that where I'm sure you've experienced that, where they come in and go, my lawyer won't get back to me, my lawyer won't answer the phone, they won't respond to an email, that I've asked them this 10 times and they're not doing anything with my case. Yeah. You are within your rights at that juncture to go, well, there are better options out there, right? That exists. And you're allowed to have that conversation. But that education piece, it's huge. It's huge for getting client cooperation, client buy-in, so that they understand how you get paid and why it's important. It's huge in maybe directing them to a better option, if that's a possibility. Yeah. Like that's that education piece that's so important. And I think a lot of chiropractors early on, particularly in their PI journey, sort of just, they just don't want to rock the boat. I don't really know what I'm doing. So they don't sign the lien. That's it. It's probably fine.
Yeah.
No,
because then you treat the whole way and you get nothing.
Right. And you've probably seen that happen.
And like I said, I've been there. Yeah, I've seen it happen so many times. Or, you know, it's crazy. I ran into a patient that I had all those years ago at the PI mill, and like casually on a walk not too long ago. And she came up and she goes, you know what? My case still hasn't settled. And I'm sitting there thinking, what the heck?
Those years ago.
Yeah, it was. It's been 2 years that she says since that her accident, and I'm like, "What do you mean it hasn't settled?" And she goes, "I don't know. They keep trying to extend it," and it's things like that. So educating the patient where it's like, "I know this is different."
Yeah.
And this isn't what you were expecting. Nobody's expecting to go and get hit. You know.
Yeah.
That's not on any of our bingo cards, I don't think.
Right.
not on my bingo
card.
Not on
my 2026. Yeah, bingo card.
That's not what I want. Right. But at least saying, you know what, it happened. Like, let's make sure that you're protected the whole way. Cause that's how it should be. And I tell them, I mean, my personal experience, I was in a car accident too. And I was like, my attorney walked me through the whole entire way. I didn't lift a finger. Somebody called me, asked for, like, if the insurance company called me, I just said, you know what? I'll talk to my attorney. My attorney took care of everything. That's how it should be. I didn't lift a finger the entire time. The case managers just provided me with updates. My chiropractor provided me with updates, and then the case was done and it was settled and I was out.
That's spectacular.
And that's how it should be, right?
Not only is it how it should be, but it's so rare.
Yeah.
Like, it's so rare to hear that story. And I love hearing it because it means that there are other attorneys. Like, I wasn't your attorney on that case.
Before I met you.
Right. So there's other attorneys. I'm just saying that for the question. There's other attorneys that do good work.
Yeah.
That do good work that are deserving of, you know, some mention in that.
Oh, yeah.
No matter where you're listening to this, there are attorneys in your area, or me, who can do good work, who can all of the things we've been talking about, who can get bills paid and who can make sure that, you know, your med pay comes to you. It doesn't get intercepted.
Exactly. Med pay is a whole another thing. Yeah.
Whole can of worms, right?
Yeah.
Where you discover all of a sudden that you've been billing med pay, but the checks haven't been coming. You're like, where the heck are these med pay checks I've been billing? Yeah. Oh, they've been going to the attorney's office.
Yeah.
Why? Yeah. Why have they been going to the attorney's office when I'm the one billing the med pay?
Yeah.
I'll tell you there are some instances where we have the med pay check sent to our office, and I'll tell you why that is. We've had some trouble with like ERs, urgent cares, MRI facilities. If they find out there's MedPay, they'll bill it and it'll go to them. And once they bill it and it goes to them, it's gone. Like there's no way to get it back. So if we get it sent to us immediately from wherever, it just comes to us, we get the full whatever, then we can pay the chiropractor's bill immediately. We don't have to wait till the case resolves. We can pay it straight to the chiropractor without risk that another facility is gonna bill that MedPay and take it. So we just pass those checks directly through us, send, endorse them on over to the chiropractor. Like it's not a, it doesn't, it never passes really through us, but it's just another way to make sure the chiropractors are the ones getting that. Because look, the MRI facilities in honest, they don't need it.
Well, and that's been such a, that was a game changer. I mean, shameless plug, working for you is real, that the MedPay process with you guys is actually way better than it has been in the past, because we have had problems with MedPay. Unless there was some, there was patients previously who only used MedPay, right?
Yeah.
And didn't even go the turning route. And that was easy. But then it is true when there's other, when they've gone to the ER right after the accident, it's like the MedPay just kind of, it gets billed and it just never, it just gets denied.
It disappears.
Denied. Yeah.
Right. And just, if they have $1,000 or $5,000 of MedPay, I mean, it could be gone instantly, right?
Yeah.
And the MRI facility one is the one that gets me all riled up because MRI facilities bill what, $3,000 for an MRI?
It's crazy.
Right. And then so $3,000 of the $5,000 goes out the door because of one MRI. Well, they know and we know and everybody knows that an MRI doesn't cost $3,000.
Yeah.
Right. That if they did that on a lien and we reduce that MRI on the back end, we're going to pay them some amount, whatever, less than $1,000. But if they're billing MedPay, they can get sometimes thousands of dollars and they'll get the MedPay. We've had one instance where that happened and we actually got on the phone with the MRI, the head of the MRI clinic, and was like, you send us the MedPay back. You know you didn't deserve $3,000 for that MRI. You send us that check back or we'll never send you another case ever again. We will never work with you ever again if you're going to do that. And it'll cost, you know, you'll get $3,000 and you'll never work with us again.
Well, yeah. And see, that's amazing. I can honestly say 100% of my patients that do have MedPay did not know they had MedPay. There has not been a single patient that knew that they had MedPay.
Well, this is an educational moment too, because I really think more people need MedPay.
Yeah.
And you know, we have a flyer. I don't think we may have given it to you, but we have a flyer that says like, can you survive another day without MedPay? And it's just like a good thing to talk to patients about, all patients, even definitely pre-accident, about like, you know, I looked this up recently. To get $5,000 of MedPay added to your average auto policy costs less than $50 a year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Sometimes it's as low as $20 for the year to get $5,000 of MedPay. And it's, MedPay is no fault. Doesn't matter if it was your fault or not for the accident. It can be used for chiropractic, acupuncture, physical therapy, some massage. Like it can be used for lots of stuff that regular insurance doesn't cover.
Yeah.
It's fantastic in an accident, in a PI setting. And we love it because it's an automatic $5,000 of chiropractic.
Yeah.
You don't have to wait till the case resolves. You can just bill it now and get it. But again, it has to do with working with good attorneys and making sure that everyone's sort of playing for the same team.
Exactly. And just that knowledge of everything that's going on. That's why I try to tell patients, like, it matters who you get because, and they, every single one has come back and had MedPay and they're like, what is that? I'm like, it's a great thing.
It's a good thing.
I'm like, it's a really great thing.
Yeah.
Like, so instead of this coming out of your pocket, now you get to just get taken care of. You get all of the care you actually need.
Yeah.
And then there's options too. And it's so nice to be able to walk them through their options. A lot of them don't even know acupuncture is an option.
Yeah.
So I always tell them like, hey, if you want to go like a more conservative route, if you feel like for you, that's better. Cause some patients say that they're like, I want to try conservative. Like just for now. I'm like, okay. Like,
well, everyone should start there.
Yeah.
That's the whole point.
Yeah. They're like, I don't want these injections or I don't want this. And I'm like, okay, well, let's start conservative. And they're like, that's covered. I'm like,
on MedPay.
Yeah, on MedPay. It is.
Yeah.
I'm like,
right.
This money you had no idea you had anything about. And like I said, not a single one has known they had MedPay. I think that is honestly so interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dr. Hartz, thank you so much for doing
so
this.
You're so welcome.
This
is
fun. Been super fun.
Yeah.
I think you might have been nervous when we started.
A little bit.
But you're not anymore.
No.
We were gentle.
Yes.
This was fantastic. So this was exactly what I was thinking it would be, which is just you explaining your history in PI and what it has been like for you personally and your, you know, sort of journey through it and what you've learned in the past few years of doing it. And I'm looking forward to doing more of these in hopes that the people out there who are listening to this and are starting out in PI or maybe they've been doing PI for a little while get to hear other doctors' experiences in the field because, you know, once you graduate and get out into practice, everyone sort of just spreads out and does their own thing and shy of like showing up at a CCA meeting or something, you very seldom have the opportunity to hear from other doctors their personal experiences. And I think people sometimes get out into practice and they don't know, is this normal? Is this what everybody's going through? Is this just me? Am I having bad luck in PI? And that's why I think this is a valuable conversation to be having. So thank you so much for having
it. Thank you.
Thanks for doing this for me, with me, for me. And yeah, so you'll follow us on the next one when we meet with another doctor. But until then, everybody take care.
Bye. I don't know what to say there.